Chapter 14. Customs of Mayenne. Perrin shook his head as the door closed behind Matt. Matt would as soon hit himself on the head with a hammer as go back to the Two Rivers. Not unless he must. Perrin wished there was some way he could avoid going home, too. But there was no way. It was a fact as hard as iron and less forgiving. The difference between Matt and himself was that he was willing to accept that, even when he did not want to. Easing his shirt off made him grunt, careful as he could be. A large bruise, already faded to browns and yellows, stained his entire left shoulder. A trollic had slipped past his axe, and only Fael's quick work with a knife had kept it from being more than it was. The shoulder made washing painful, but at least there was no worry about cold water in Tyr. He was packed and ready, only a change of clothes for the morning remaining out of his saddlebags. As soon as the sun rose, he would go find Loyal. No point in bothering the Ogier tonight. He was probably already abed, where Perrin meant to be shortly. Fael was the only problem he had not figured out how to deal with. Even staying in Tyr would be better for her than going with him. The door opened, surprising him. Perfume wafted into him as soon as the door cracked. It made him think of climbing flowers on a hot summer night. A tantalizing scent, not heavy, not to anyone but him, but nothing Fael would wear. Still, he was even more surprised when Berylaine stepped into his room. Holding the edge of the door, she blinked, making him realize how dim the light must be for her.
"You are going somewhere?" she said hesitantly.
With the light of the hallway's lamps behind her, it was difficult not to stare.
"Yes, my lady."
He bowed, not smoothly, but as well as he could. Fael could give all the sharp sniffs she wanted, but he saw no reason not to be polite.
"In the morning." "So am I."
She closed the door and crossed her arms beneath her breasts. He looked away, watching her from the corner of his eye, so she would not think he was goggling. She went on without noticing his reaction. The single candle flame was reflected in her dark eyes.
"After tonight. Tomorrow I will leave by carriage for Godan, and from there take ship for Mayenne. I should have gone days ago, but I thought there must be some way to work matters out. Only there wasn't, of course. I should have seen that sooner. Tonight convinced me. The way he... all that lightning flowing down the halls. I will leave tomorrow."
"My lady," Perrin said in confusion, "why are you telling me?"
The way she tossed her head reminded him of a mare he had sometimes shooed in Emmons Field. That mare would try to take a bite out of you.
"So you can tell the Lord Dragon, of course."
That made no more sense to him.
"You can tell him yourself," he said, with more than a little exasperation. "I've no time for carrying messages before I go."
"I do not think he would wish to see me."
Any man would want to see her, and she was beautiful to look at. She knew both things. He thought she had started to say something else. Could she have been that frightened by what had happened that night in Rand's bedchamber? Or the attack and the way Rand had ended it? Perhaps, but this was not a woman to frighten easily, not from the cool way she was eyeing him.
"Give your message to a servant. I doubt I'll see Rand again, not before I leave. Any servant will take a note to him."
"It would come better from you, a friend of the Lord."
"Give it to a servant, or one of the Aiel."
"You will not do as I ask?"
she asked incredulously.
"No. Haven't you been listening to me?"
She tossed her head again, but there was a difference this time, though he could not have said what. Studying him thoughtfully, she murmured half to herself,
"Such striking eyes."
"What?"
Suddenly he realized he was standing there naked to the waist. Her intense scrutiny abruptly seemed like the study of a horse before purchase. Next thing, she would be feeling his ankles and inspecting his teeth. He snatched the shirt meant for mourning from the bed and pulled it over his head.
Give your message to a servant. I want to go to bed now. I mean to be up early, before sunrise.
Where are you going tomorrow?
Home, the Two Rivers. It is late. If you are leaving tomorrow too, I suppose you want to get some sleep. I know I'm tired.
He yawned as widely as he could.
She still made no move toward the door. You are a blacksmith. I have need of a blacksmith in Mayenne, making ornamental ironwork. A short stay before returning to the Two Rivers? You would find Mayenne entertaining.
I am going home, he told her firmly, and you are going back to your own rooms.
Her small shrug made him look away again hastily. Perhaps another day. I always get what I want in the end, and I think I want...
She paused, eyeing him up and down.
Ornamental ironwork for the windows of my bedchamber.
She smiled so innocently that he felt alarm gongs sounding his head. The door opened again, and Fail came in.
Perrin, I went into the city looking for you, and I heard a rumor...
She stopped, stock still, her eyes hard on Berylaine. The first ignored her. Stepping close to Perrin, she ran a hand up his arm, across his shoulder. For an instant, he thought she meant to try pulling his head down for a kiss. She certainly lifted her face up as if for one. But she only trailed her hand along the side of his neck in a quick caress and stepped back. It was over and done before he could move to stop her.
Remember, she said softly, as if they were alone, I always get what I want.
And she swept past Fail and out of the room. He waited for an explosion from Fail, but she glanced at his stuffed saddlebags on the bed and said,
I see you've heard the rumor already. It is only a rumor, Perrin.
Yellow eyes make it more than that.
She should have been erupting like a bundle of dry twigs tossed on a fire. Why was she so cool?
Very well. Moraine is the next problem, then. Will she try to stop you?
Not if she doesn't know. If she tries, I will go anyway. I have family and friends, Fail. I won't leave them to white cloaks. But I hope to keep it from her until I'm well out of the city.
Even her eyes were calm, like dark pools in the forest. It made his hackles rise.
But it had to take weeks for that rumor to reach Tyr, and it will take weeks more to ride to the Two Rivers. The white cloaks could be gone by then. Well, I have been wanting you to leave here. I should not complain. I just want you to know what to expect.
It won't take weeks by the ways, he told her. 2 days, maybe three.
2 days. He supposed there was no means to make it faster.
You are as mad as Randall Thor, she said disbelievingly.
Dropping on the foot of his bed, she folded her legs crosswise and addressed him in a voice suitable for lecturing children.
Go into the ways, and you come out hopelessly mad, if you come out at all, which is most likely you will not. The ways are tainted, Perrin. They have been dark for, what, 300 years? 400? Ask Loyal. He could tell you. It was Ogiers built the ways, or grew them, or whatever it was. Not even they use the ways. Why, even if you managed to make it through them unscathed, the light alone knows where you would come out.
I have traveled them, Fail.
And a frightening trip it had been, too.
Loyal can guide me. He can read the guideposts. That's how we went before. He will do it for me again when he knows how important it is.
Loyal was eager to be away from Tyr too. He seemed to be afraid that his mother knew where he was. Perrin was sure he would help.
Well, she said, rubbing her hands together briskly. Well, I wanted adventure, and this is certainly it. Leaving the Stone of Tyr and the Dragon Reborn, traveling the ways to find white cloaks. I wonder whether we can persuade Tom Marilyn to come along. If we cannot have a bard, a gleeman will do. He could compose the story, and you and I the heart of it. No dragon reborn or Aes Sedai about to swallow up the tale. When do we leave? In the morning?
He took a deep breath to steady his voice. I will be going alone, Fayu. Just Loyal and me.
We will need a pack horse, she said, as if he had not spoken. Two, I think. The ways are dark. We will need lanterns and plenty of oil. Your Two Rivers people, farmers, will they fight White Cloaks?
Fayil, I said.
I heard what you said, she snapped.
Shadows gave her a dangerous look, with her tilted eyes and high cheekbones.
I heard, and it makes no sense. What if these farmers won't fight, or don't know how? Who is going to teach them? You? Alone?
I will do what has to be done, he said patiently. Without you. She bounced to her feet so fast he thought she was coming for his throat.
Do you think Berylaine will go with you? Will she guard your back? Or perhaps you prefer her to sit on your lap and squeal? Tuck your shirt in, you hairy oaf. Does it have to be so dark in here? Berylaine likes dim light, does she? Much good she will do you against the children of the light.
Perrin opened his mouth to protest and changed what he had been going to say. She looks a pleasant armful, Berylaine. What man wouldn't want her on his lap? The hurt on her face banded his chest with iron, but he made himself go on. When I am done at home, I may go to Mayenne. She asked me to come, and I might. Fayil said not a word. She stared at him with a face like stone, then whirled and ran out, slamming the door behind her with a crash. In spite of himself, he started to follow, then stopped with his hands gripping the doorframe till his fingers hurt. Staring at the splintered gash his axe had made in the door, he found himself telling it what he could not tell her. I killed White Cloaks. They would have killed me if I hadn't. But they still call it murder. I'm going home to die if I heal. That's the only way I can stop them hurting my people. Let them hang me. I cannot let you see that. I can't. You might even try to stop it, and then they'd... His head dropped against the door. She would not be sorry to see the last of him now. That was what was important. She would go find her adventure somewhere else, safe from White Cloaks and Taviren and Bubbles of Evil. That was all that was important. He wished he did not want to howl with grief.
Fayil strode through the halls at a near run, oblivious of who she passed or who had to scramble out of her way. Perrin, Berylaine, Perrin, Berylaine. He wants a milk-faced vixen who runs about half-naked, does he? He doesn't know what he wants. Hairy lummox, wooden-headed buffoon, blacksmith, and that sneaking sow, Berylaine, that prancing she-goat. She did not realize where she was going until she saw Berylaine ahead of her, gliding along in that dress that left nothing to the imagination, swaying along as if that walk of hers was not deliberately calculated to make male eyes pop. Before Fayil knew what she was doing, she had darted ahead of Berylaine and turned to face her where two corridors met. Perrin Abara belongs to me, she snapped. You keep your hands and your smiles away from him. She flushed to her hairline when she heard what she had said. She had promised herself she would never do this, never fight over a man like a farm girl rolling in the dirt at harvest. Berylaine arched a cool eyebrow. Belongs to you? Strange. I saw no collar on him. You serving girls. Or are you a farmer's daughter? You have the most peculiar ideas. Serving girl? Serving girl? I am... Fayil bit her tongue to stop the furious words. The first of Mayenne, indeed. There were estates in Saldaea larger than Mayenne. She would not last a week in the courts of Saldaea. Could she recite poetry while hawking? Could she ride in the hunt all day, then play the cittern at night while discussing how to counter Trolloc raids? She thought she knew men, did she? Did she know the language of fans? Could she tell a man to come or go or stay and 100 things more, all with the twist of a wrist and the placement of a lace fan? Light shine on me. What am I thinking? I swore I would never even hold a fan again. But there were other Saldaean customs. She was surprised to see the knife in her hand. She had been taught not to draw a knife unless she meant to use it. Farm girls in Saldea have a way of dealing with women who poach others' men. If you do not swear to forget, Perenay Barra, I will shave your head as bald as an egg. Perhaps the boys who tend the chickens will pant after you then. She was not sure exactly how Berylaine gripped her wrist, but suddenly she was flying through the air. The floor crashing into her back drove all the air from her lungs. Berylaine stood smiling, tapping the blade of Fael's knife on her palm. A custom of Mayenne. The Tyrans do like to use assassins, and the guards cannot always be close at hand. I despise being attacked, farm girl, so this is what I will do. I will take the blacksmith away from you and keep him as a pet, for as long as he amuses me. Ogier's oath on it, farm girl. He is quite ravishing, really. Those shoulders, those arms, not to mention those eyes of his. And if he is a bit uncultured, I can have that remedied. My courtiers can teach him how to dress and rid him of that awful beard. Wherever he goes, I will find him and make him mine. You can have him when I'm finished, if he still wants you, of course. Finally managing to draw breath, Fael struggled to her feet, pulling a second knife. I will drag you to him after I cut off those clothes you are almost wearing and make you tell him you are nothing but a sow. Light, help me. I am behaving like a farm girl and talking like one. The worst part was that she meant it. Berylaine set herself warily. She meant to use her hands, obviously, not the knife. She held it like a fan. Fael advanced on the balls of her feet. Suddenly, Ruark was there between them, towering over them, snatching the knives away before either woman was really aware of him.
Have you not seen enough blood already tonight? He said coldly. Of all those I thought I might find breaking the peace, the two of you would be the last named.
Fael gaped at him. With no warning, she pivoted, driving her fist toward Ruark's short ribs. The toughest man would feel it there. He seemed to move without looking at her, caught her hand, forced her arm straight to her side, twisted. Abruptly, she was standing very straight and hoping he did not push her arm right up out of her shoulder. As if nothing had happened, he addressed Berylaine.
You will go to your room, and you will not come out until the sun is above the horizon. I will see that no breakfast is brought to you. A little hunger will remind you that there is a time and place for fighting.
Berylaine drew herself up indignantly. I am the first of Mayenne. I will not be ordered about like you will go to your rooms.
Now, Ruark told her flatly.
Fael wondered if she could kick him. She must have tensed, because as soon as she thought of it, he increased the pressure on her wrist and she was up on her tiptoes.
If you do not, he went on to Berylaine, we will repeat our first talk together, you and I, right here.
Berylaine's face went white and red by turns. Very well, she said stiffly. If you insist, I will perhaps...
I did not propose a discussion. If I can still see you when I have counted three. One.
With a gasp, Berylaine hiked her skirts and ran. She even managed to sway doing that. Fael stared after her in amazement. It was almost worth having her arm nearly disjointed. Ruark was watching Berylaine go, too, a small appreciative smile on his lips. Do you mean to hold me all night? She demanded. He released her and tucked her knives into his belt. Those are mine.
Forfeit, he said.
Berylaine's punishment for fighting was to have you see her sent to bed like a willful child. Yours is to lose these knives you prize. I know you have others.
If you argue, I might take those, too. I will not have the peace broken.
She glared at him, but she suspected he meant just what he said. Those knives had been made for her by a man who knew what he was doing. The balance was just right. What first talk did you have with her? Why did she run like that?
That is between her and me. You will not go near her again, Fael. I do not believe she started this. That one's weapons are not knives. If either of you makes trouble again, I will put both of you to carrying offal. Some of the Tyrans thought they could keep on fighting their duels after I had declared peace on this place, but the smell of the refuse cart soon taught them their mistake. Be sure you do not have to learn it the same way. She waited until he had gone before nursing her shoulder. He reminded her of her father. Not that her father had ever twisted her arm, but he had small patience with those who made trouble, whatever their position, and no one ever caught him by surprise. She wondered if she could bait Berylaine into something, just to see the first of Mayenne sweating among the refuse carts. But Ruark had said both of them. Her father meant what he said, too. Berylaine. Something Berylaine had said was tickling the back of her mind. Ogier's oath. That was it. An Ogier never broke an oath. To say Ogier oathbreaker was like saying brave coward or wise fool. She could not help laughing aloud. You will take him from me, you silly peahen. By the time you see him again, if you ever do, he'll be mine once more. Chuckling to herself and occasionally rubbing her shoulder, she walked on with a light heart.